This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on May 27th, 2016. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, labour organisations have filed formal complaints against Colombia for not protecting unionists or labour rights. The UN's International Labour Organization reports that women workers are not moving ahead in finding jobs and winning fair pay. And the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. Labour organizations have lodged complaints against the Colombian government for not living up to its commitments to protect unionists in the country. Colombia made the commitments in 2012 when it signed a trade agreement with the United States and Canada. Since then, more than 100 unionists have been assassinated in the country. The largest labor federation in the U.S., the AFL-CIO, has filed a legal case condemning Colombia's lack of respect for labor rights, such as the right to form a union, and bargain collectively. I talked to Hassan Youssef about Colombia. Mr. Youssef is the president of the Trade Union Confederation of the Americas. TUCA covers both North and South America and has the AFL-CIO as an affiliate. Mr. Youssef is also president of the Canadian Labour Congress. I asked Mr. Youssef what TUCA wants Colombia to do.
They have to fulfill their part of the labour agreement that was signed as part of the free trade agreement. And hold them to that, hold them account for that, because it's simply dishonest for governments to promise that, you know, you can have free access to a market, and these principles are fundamental to having free access to the market, and yet you keep providing excuses why they can't do that. You know, Colombia keeps saying we need more technical assistance, we need, you know, more expertise in this area. I think quite often this is just another delay tactic for them not doing the right thing in upholding their laws and enforcing the law so workers can enjoy the protection that was promised by their government. And similarly, the human rights abuses going on in Colombia is directly related because workers are resisting the austerity measure by the Colombian government and employers in that country. So for doing that, quite often they're murdered for standing up and defending their rights in collective bargaining, defending their rights to join a union, defending their rights to say, listen, you can't impose austerity on us. And the Colombian governments need to assure trade union in their own country that they'll have basic protection to go to work and to do what is required in a democratic society to do union work without having to endure threats to your life and getting killed.
A report by the United Nations shows that women are far from catching up to men, both in terms of finding employment and pay equity for work of equal value. Radio Labour's senior correspondent Seymourie Ainsborough reports.
Millions of women around the world are falling behind in their attempts to win equal treatment as workers, both in searching for employment and in wages. A new study by the UN's International Labour Organization shows that women are still finding it difficult to enter paid employment. Since 1995, the number of women in the global workforce has increased by only 0.6%. Globally, 46% of women are employed as compared to 72% of men. This is despite significant increases in the participation of women in education. Meanwhile, the report confirms the results of other studies, which show that even when women do find work, they are seriously underpaid. According to the ILO report, women earn on average 77% of what men earn. Lawrence J. Johnson is the deputy director of the ILO's research department. The ILO is the UN body which is focused on matters of work in the world.
What we see over the last two decades, while there's been great strides in women in terms of education, those haven't translated into the labor market. We know that only about 1.3 billion women are engaged in the labor markets, where 2 million men are. The challenge is how do we create not only opportunities, but decent and productive work for these women. Several issues. One, engaging in the labor market to begin with, but also ensuring that women have opportunities for decent work. We know, for example, half of the women engaged in the labor market are among the ranks of the unemployed, or what we call on account or unpaid family work, where they often lack the basic social protections, protection under labor law, and again, this right to collective bargaining. So it puts them at a strong disadvantage. So the ability for these economies to grow is also limited. Without women engaging in labor markets, it puts countries at a strong disadvantage. Women are engaged in two ways. What we talk about paid employment, what we think about working for an employee or an own account, but also women's work at home. This is that unpaid work. And we know that if you look in developed economies, it's about twice as much as their male counterparts. And if you move to the developing economies, it's three times as much. So women are engaged, but again, because they're engaged so much in non-paid work, it limits their ability to participate within the labor market in terms of paid employment. And if you think about that down the road, when it comes to social protection, that also means that women are not participating and contributing to pension schemes. And it's quite alarming if you think of it this way. Two out of every three women that are engaged in economic activities are not benefiting from pension schemes.
Mr. Johnson was asked about potential solutions to achieving more equitable treatment for women.
Well, the solution is many ways. One is we need to make sure women have a voice. We need to make sure we have policies that promote women in terms of the labor market, but also look at these constraints when we talk about elder care, child care. What can we do as a society to ensure that women can contribute? Because if you think of it this way, we want to see economies grow, and women have a lot to contribute. And if we limit them from the labor markets, it's detrimental to the individual, but society as a whole.
The new ILO study is called Women at Work, Trends 2016. It notes that the 23% wage gap between men and women cannot be explained only by differences in education or age. Instead, the gap can be linked to the undervaluation of the work women do and to the skills prevalent in female-dominated sectors or occupations. The study also points to discrimination and the need for women to take career breaks because of pregnancies. The ILO report estimates that if current trends continue, closing the wage gap will take another 70 years. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the more than 2,300 stories our volunteers have collected in the last week. Our top stories section included links to news about the giant general strike over IMF-imposed fuel price policies in Nigeria, the sacking of 4,000 Mexican teachers for striking, and further escalations of the national protests against labor law changes in France. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Norwegian hospitality workers won a huge victory in their long-running strike. There was an increase in the number of workplace actions in Cuba. A one-day walkout by 60,000 Belgian workers after their government proposed rollbacks to legislated rights. Argentinian workers continued their actions countering government austerity policies. Radio employees in South Africa started a wage dispute last week. Public transport workers in Madrid, Spain ended a three-day walkout last Monday. Lifeguards in the Indian state of Goa suspended their strike to allow for negotiations to start. Portuguese dock workers continued their weeks-long strike as riot police protected scabs who moved containers out of the port of Lisbon. And Nigerian municipal workers occupied government offices and were surrounded by the army and police as they demanded their unpaid wages. While in the same country, judicial workers walked out to protest a government decision to renege on an agreement that had ended an earlier strike. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the disproportionate effects of public sector job cuts on women in Canada, the unveiling of a mural in England that commemorates the Grunwick Film Lab strike by South Asian migrant women workers 40 years ago, and the debate over women-only trade unions in India. Our health and safety newswire carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the safety strike by Turkish miners and the deaths of two workers in a French factory explosion. Currently, LaborStart is running 7 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unions around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
And that's it. International labor news you can use. Radio Labor's newscasts are available on its website, iTunes, mobile phones, union websites, and community radio stations. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labor. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.